Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You are now listening to the NYYST Podcast.
Welcome back. This is episode 221 of the NYYST Podcast. I am your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yo.
And Stat Guy Rise at a talent show tonight.
He's running a talent show. He is the talent.
He is the talent.
He's so talented, he couldn't be in the talent show, so he's running the talent show.
Is that like... We always bring up How I Met Your Mother on the show because it's honestly, outside of the finale, it's my favorite sitcom.
Finale really is great, but keep going.
Finale sucked, but anyway. Do you remember the episode when Barney finds out that his mother was lying to him all throughout the years? And it was Barney, you can't be on the basketball team because you're so good. But it was really because he sucks so bad. What it is with SGR?
It's dead on. That's good.
It's like SGR. It's like, people call him SGR outside.
Yeah, definitely everyone. Honey, you can't be on the basketball team. It's not fair to the other children. That's what I'm going to do to my kids.
SGR, you can't be in a talent show. It's not fair to everybody else.
I'm going to tell you something.
What's that?
When your daughter gets older and she starts playing sports and stuff, if she's in a sport that she's just not all there with, like a little behind, hasn't had the right training, it's tough to watch, man. Just letting you know.
But what are you going to tell them? No?
No. You always encourage it and you make sure they do their best. I'm just saying, as a parent, you just want to run out there and just fucking tell them what the fuck to do. It's tough to just sit there.
I'll just start drinking.
Just start drinking. Yeah. Or take one of Creed's fucking Zannies, doggy Zannies.
No, he's passed the fuck out right now.
Do you think Creed will still be on the doggy Zanny by the time Ava is old enough to be in sports and stuff? Is this something
you're going to still hear?
Is this something? No, I said, do you think he'll still be on the Zannies? Or you think he'll
I have no idea if he's ever going to calm down. The dog's a fucking maniac.
When you got this dog, did they tell you it was like anxiety ridden? Like, is this something like it was like a
no, he doesn't
charity?
Have anxiety. He's a hunting dog and there's nothing for him to hunt around here. So he's got all this pent up energy.
Mm. You had him snipped, right?
Yes.
You got snippy. He's still pent up like that?
Yeah, it's that's a.
I heard they calm.
Yeah, they don't. It's that's
not true. All of them.
Maybe not this breed.
Mm.
But anyway, I'm very excited tonight. Usually I hate seeing your face, but I'm actually excited. We're doing a bonus episode of the NYYST podcast recording Tuesday night. It's about 8:30. Spring training is finally over. When you listen to this Wednesday morning, we'll be a little over 24 hours away from opening day.
Damn.
I'm so excited. The weather's supposed to be pure shit, but somehow, some way, I think they're going to get the
game
in. From what I understand, it's not supposed to be that cold on Thursday, and the rain is supposed to hold off and be in the morning, and they should be able to get the game in. I'm looking forward to it. We were hoping to have one show, and then something beyond our control, so now we're here, we're doing a different show. It is what it is, but we talked about it. I wanted to make it happen. I wanted this bonus episode. So, Chris originally couldn't join me and now he's here. So let's get, for that alone, you should leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Seriously.
Right there. Boom.
Boom. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, share the page, tell a friend that's a Yankee fan. We don't fuck around. We don't hold back. If you have a friend who doesn't get offended easily, who loves the Yankees and likes to have a good time, you fucking tell them about our podcast.
We're hoping we're going to have an announcement, about the future of the show when we record after opening day. So hopefully you'll hear it Friday morning. You know, we're hoping for a lot of big things this year. And, you know, we just come out and say it to everybody. You, when you listen to this show, our goal is for you to feel like you're sitting down, having a couple of beers, throwing back a couple of Jacks.
Maybe a couple doggy zannies, depending on what you're into.
Right. And just chilling and feel like you're just bullshitting with your friends about baseball.
Hanging with the
fellas. You know, along the way, we'll make a couple of cogent points. You know, mm-hmm. we'll do that. Mm-hmm. But most of the, you know, but I never wanted to start this podcast to sit there and be like, well, did you know that Gleyber Torres's WOBA was this above the league average this year? And
we're more from the heart.
And Tyler Wade's really not that good because his DRZ is like negative 15, which if you're stupid, it means it sucks.
But
like,
he's cute and has a dig bick.
I don't care about that type of stuff. That there's plenty of other shows out there for that. Go listen to them.
Yeah, like
if you.
I'm not going to call out, like, give him credit here with his name, and I hope he's listening, because you know what? At least he had the balls to fucking DM us, and he had something to say about us. But one of his points was, like, you guys need to change. This blah, blah, blah is getting old. There's a lot of great shows out there. I listen to you guys for a change of pace. Hey, buddy, we're the change of pace because we don't do what you just said you want us to do. Like, we're that change of pace, bro. If you want that shit, there's plenty of shows out there to do it. There's a reason why we sit at number three right now in Yankee podcast. There's a reason. So we're not changing shit. And that's what it comes down to. But I was going to make another point too. I forget what the fuck you were just saying. I don't know. It'll come to me. I forget.
Yeah, so we'll just dive right into it. I don't know. What do you want to get into first? The fucked up day yesterday was, or do you want to get into the rotation? Because those are really the two main things I got today.
Let's go fucked up day first. Let's just ride this, because this has been a fucked up opening. So we'll just keep it fucked up and talk about yesterday.
If yesterday is not one of the most fucked up days in the history of Yankee Twitter, I guess you could say. I don't know what is yet. Everybody, their just minds were just running wild. And
do you blame anyone?
And I was just, next words out of my mouth, I honestly can't blame anybody. You know, first of all, Brian Hoke, who we've had on the show before, who we
multiple
respect,
times,
who we respect the job that he does. You know, I don't know if he knew and he was just fucking with everybody, but he posts the lineup from the game yesterday. All the regulars that are playing, except Aaron Judge. And now Aaron Judge hadn't played since Friday. And then he quote tweets the lineup from the official Yankee Twitter. And he does three emojis. Eyes. Judge. Question mark. And now,
yeah. Listen.
What does that lead you to believe right there?
You know Hoke was messing with us, because if there's one thing, and we, like you said, we've had Hoke on a couple times, awesome dude, but he's extremely close to that team. I mean, if there's news going around, Hoke knows about it, and he knew, he had to have known. There's no way that he didn't know what was going on. He was just messing with people.
So first thing everybody's going to do, he's hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And now, immediately, well, you know, this is what this show does to you. Immediately, instead of thinking about Aaron Judge's injury and how it's going to affect the team, I'm thinking about my rant on the next episode.
Yeah, right.
Like, because remember, we just said two episodes ago, we were saying this season, this guy's got to stay healthy. His legacy's on the line. And I'm sitting in my car and I'm like, fucking, this guy's legacy is ruined. He'll never, I'm just going on. And I'm saying to myself,
all rise all the time is fucking shattered before the season.
And we didn't even get one game from this motherfucking guy.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and then here's what it is, right? Now it's like, oh, you know, and it's like Aaron Boone will speak to the media between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. And then 12 o'clock rolls around. We don't hear from Aaron Boone.
And it's actually going to be the general manager, Brian Cashman.
It's like,
then
what is
now
going
it's really
on?
Serious.
Yeah. And then the Yankees announce, well, we're not making Aaron Boone available available to the media. Brian Cashman will speak, and we're like, shit.
Now we're done.
Now like, we've been talking all this shit for weeks about positivity only, all rise all the time, and now it's like, they don't even want Boone to say anything. They're bringing fucking Brian Cashman in.
Yeah, but you know what? If we didn't keep that positive momentum going, maybe that day turns out to be what we had originally expected. Maybe it is Cashman coming on and saying Judge is out for the year. But you know what? Positive thinking goes a long way.
But that's not even it. Then we get word that Brian Cashman is being delayed, and we're saying,
yeah,
what could possibly be happening right now? Now I'm joking with you guys. It's like, did they lose him? Like the Mets lost Cespedes last year?
Do they not know where he is? They don't know where he is. Stack Guy Rise texting, talking about the fucking weather. He's like, everything's right,
because then the next thing it was like, then they're delaying the game. And then you're like, did somebody fucking die?
Did someone either die or was there a COVID outbreak? That was my thought at that point.
But then we found out that it was raining down there, so they delayed the game from weather. And then when we found that out, things started to come back into shape. In case you lived under a rock and you're not on social media, Aaron Judge is fine. Aaron Boone's words, good to go for opening day. I don't know, it was allergies, a touch of the flu, something, but because of COVID protocols, he was not allowed to play yesterday. This is basically what it came down to. Aaron Boone said Saturday was just a scheduled day off. He wasn't going to play, I guess, then because I don't know if they traveled Sunday and they weren't going to bring him anyway. And then Monday he was supposed to play because all the regulars played. And because of the COVID protocols and whatever he was going through, he couldn't play yesterday.
Okay. So I understand the protocol side of things. Is this for us to assume that he felt okay enough though, if those protocols weren't in place, that he would have been playing?
I guess so. The flu is,
it's well known, anyone listening to the show, I fucking had COVID. It was like getting a really, I mean, my case at least was like a really bad case of the flu. And it sucked. So if he really had the
Could you have played a Major League Baseball game?
I couldn't play a Major League Baseball game if I was fucking 100% healthy. But no.
I couldn't even get up
and raise my children like my wife did. My wife had COVID too. She didn't even care. She just got up, did everything. I'm laying in bed sleeping for 5 weeks.
Did you tip your wife off that we told her to get the fuck out?
No, you want to know what's funny about that? When I was watching the premiere on YouTube, because we premiere these, you know, I might premiere this later tonight. We get a decent audience when we do it later at night. But when I premiere the, you know, our regular scheduled show on Sunday night around 10:30, I hit it because I wanted to listen a little, whatever. I completely forgot about the get the fuck out drop that we did. And I was dying laughing. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? And then she texted you right away.
No, that was Monday night. Was that yesterday? I don't know.
No, Sunday night I drop it. Sunday night I drop it. Monday's audio.
Right. I was thinking that it happened yesterday that she listened to it.
Again, I'll go back to it. You're a dad now, so you don't even know what fucking days are anymore.
Do you know that I don't even know where I am half the time?
Like, yeah. Now you know where I've been for how many years now?
Like, I come into my man cave where I record. Like, I get up at like 11. Like, this is wishful thinking that I'm actually sleeping at 11:30. But like, if I fall asleep around like 10:30, I'll get up at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, get a drink, maybe have a snack. And then like, it'll be 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm sleeping on the fucking couch in here.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I get here?
How'd you get here? I do that too, because fucking Jack's 4 years old and has not, he's maybe slept in his own bed maybe 10 nights out of his entire life.
No, that's good.
So some nights when I can't sleep or I'm just falling asleep, he'll come in, kick me in the face while he's sleeping, and then I end up somewhere else in the house, and then I wake up like, where the fuck am I right now? I get it. I'm there too.
That's good, because Ava is 11 months old. She'll be 11 months old on Friday, and she has slept in her crib 0 times in her life. So that's encouraging that your kid slept in his bed 10 times in 4 years.
Yeah, but that wasn't during crib years. Crib years? Fucking forget it. We had to get this fucking contraption that actually went in the middle of us for him to sleep. It is wild. It's wild. So yeah, good luck.
Ava was just like, fuck you guys, I'm sleeping in the bed.
And then everyone I tell that to is just always like, cherish it. Because one day they're not going to want to sleep with you and they're going to tell you to go fuck yourself. I'm like, yeah, I guess. But I'd like to get a little sleep.
Or my favorite is from people that don't have kids and I'm like, well, you know, why don't you just put them in their bed?
Yeah.
If it was that fucking simple, don't you think I would have done it already?
Yeah, what do some people call cribs baby prison now, baby jail.
Yeah, baby.
You're not supposed to put him in. I'll fucking put my kid in a cage. I don't care. I'll fucking.
That's why I was always hesitant to ever say anything, especially as I got older, to people when they had kids and I didn't have my kid yet. I was always hesitant to even open my mouth because I'm just saying to myself, like, I don't want to hear any fucking parenting advice from anybody.
You're the exception, not the rule when it comes to that.
Like Chris would be like letting his kids play with butcher knives. And I'm like, I really should.
Oh, here we go. I just said I put my kid in a cage. Now you're telling people I fucking let them play with butcher knives. Forget it. The put him in a cage would have maybe gone through. Now I'm done.
All right. So
we're joking, by the way, complete jokes.
We don't put kids in cages.
We don't put kids in cages. Just our government does for the last 10 years. So,
I mean, you didn't have to go that far. What we said was enough. Sometimes you take.
Yeah, but you know what? I like to be fair on both sides. And like to say that would be to imply that the administration now is doing it where no other administration did. So I like to be fair. I like to call for what the fuck it is, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's just how I roll. Okay.
All right. So back to how we roll here with Aaron Judge. He's okay.
Judge is good.
It's see, this is what kind of worries you though a little bit, because I don't think did we ever come across this last year where a guy maybe wasn't feeling well, it wasn't COVID, but he had to miss a game because of it. I don't think
there might have been one time. There might have been one time. It's coming to me right now where someone wasn't feeling well, and we were like, "Fuck, he's got COVID. It's going to spread throughout the team." But it wasn't, and it might have been Aaron Judge, to be honest. But I'm not positive. Yeah, I think that did happen. But here, so let's go back to that for a second. I'm asking if they said that because I don't understand the protocol of, like, just because you have symptoms, you're getting tested for a reason. Like, if you're negative and you're just, like, sick but want to play through it, you can't? I guess not.
I guess they have to do their due diligence on it.
And actually, I wanted to bring this up real quick, too. My family's here from North Carolina. My uncle's scout for the A's. And he had to get vaccinated. It was mandatory for his job. Not through MLB, by the way. Through the team. Through the organization. Did the Yankees announce any of that? That they're forcing guys or players?
All I heard is that Boone got vaccinated and he said he was going to speak to the team and encourage them to do so as well.
Okay. I think that's more than fair. If you want to get it, you should fucking definitely get it. And the people who don't, you don't have to worry about because you got vaccinated for a reason because you trust it.
I think a lot of guys are going to end up doing it because if a team is 85% vaccinated, MLB, after 2 weeks, MLB will start lifting restrictions on what they are and are not allowed to do. So they'll be able to go out to dinner, go do certain things.
Then you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. And that's part of the reason why I hate, ever since the vaccines came out, that it's not more like that for the American people, that they're not encouraging people that if you're getting vaccinated, that you can go and live a little more of a normal life, because I think that's going to encourage a lot of the players to get it for sure. Look at how many guys couldn't just stay in a hotel room last year during a 60-game season. How many guys got caught like going out to strip clubs and restaurants or whatever and fucking ruining it for everyone?
Right. So if you want to see titties, get the shot.
If you want to see some titties, go get the shot and that's it. And then you could go out, go get some stankin' eggs, and that's it. And it's over with.
So, you know, like, that just made me think, like, what if this pops up during the season? Like, a guy sneezes, he feels a little warm, and like, oh, COVID protocol, you can't play today.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's I agree with being cautious. I think that there should be protocols in place, but I think that the COVID test should suffice, where if a guy's just feeling sick and if he has the flu, guess what? There's tests for the flu. So he must have come back positive to say it's the flu and not COVID.
I don't know that he had the flu. Somebody said that he might have had
flu symptoms. He had a little Tyler Wade issue.
He might have been affected seasonal allergies down there.
Jesus Christ. So now seasonal allergies are going to keep players from fucking
playing. I didn't hear exactly what was bothering him. That somebody speculated on that. It could be anything, but he doesn't have COVID. He's going to be in the lineup on Thursday. So, I mean, it was just a wild day yesterday. So Brian Cashman, when he did end up speaking to the media, we got a little bit of news here. Justin Wilson's going to start the season on the injured list. I don't know if you remember, he took himself out of a game maybe last week.
So
I don't know how serious it is. It doesn't seem like it's that serious. So, but that's a big blow to the bullpen with Zach Britton being out. The Yankees, as far as I know, still have one open roster spot. It looks like it's going to go to Lucas Lucky. I mean, he was absolutely dominant in spring training.
Yeah, he earned it for sure.
You know, and with Wilson and Britton out, it's going to bring up a need for another left-hander in there, in the bullpen there. So, I mean, guys are going to have to step up. I mean, your main setup guy now is going to be Chad Green, who's probably going to – your number two guy would probably be Darren O'Day. And then you're probably looking for – I don't know. I guess the Yankees are probably looking for a guy like Lou Isaac to step up and take some big innings, especially in the early part of the season. They announced Michael King made the team, which – Michael King, he's a guy that I like, but he's a guy I just don't know how good he'll ever be. Just seems like
he's going to be that in-betweener type guy that Boone's going to probably use too much and really expose how average of a pitcher he really is.
You know, there's a real wild card out in that bullpen in Nick Nelson. And one scout I think I was reading earlier this week said they asked about Nelson and his quote was "fucking filthy." That was his quote about Nelson. And we saw Nick Nelson last year. I loved his stuff. He got hit up a little bit. I think he maybe wasn't ready for the major leagues last year, but I loved his stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
He's another guy. I think him and Loaisica, out of those two, the Yankees are really looking for one of those two guys to step up and fill some big innings, especially in the early part of the season. Mike Tauchman made the team. I think we talked about that last episode. Mm-hmm. Cashman was trying to trade him. But he said that for the value that they value, for what they value him at, nobody came back with a reasonable offer.
Kind of a backhanded compliment, really, if you really think about it. But you know what? I'm glad Cashman is transparent in that way when he can be. Like, he is pretty much just like, yeah, we tried to get rid of him, but his value wasn't matching up with what we were getting back.
You know, it's so funny, though, because the rival executive had said that Cashman was being, quote, unreasonable for his return for Mike Tauchman. And I'm saying to myself, now what it feels like for a shoe to be on the other foot.
Right.
When Brian Cashman is saying, no, fuck you, give me this.
When we're trying to get Jay Bruce a few years ago and it was the Mets, right? They wanted Gleyber Torres or some shit.
That was a joke. It was just that they were being absolutely ridiculous.
But I'm saying, like, that's the fuck. It's not a joke in a lot of other circumstances. So that's really every single trade Cashman has tried to make pretty much has come down to the other team wanting Gleyber Torres and not moving off of it. And that's really been it. So don't talk to me about who's fucking unreasonable.
So Brian Cashman's trying to get something useful for his team this year from Mike Tauchman. And they're like, well, why don't you give us, how about we send you some hot dog wrappers?
Yeah, honestly.
Speaking of hot dog wrappers, the Yankees announced today that they're going to have 10,850. Mm-hmm. I think I have the number accurate. Fans in attendance for opening day.
Yeah, it's
which
cool.
Which is probably right around 20%, because I think the capacity.
Let me tell you something. If you have fucking opening day tickets, and you A, didn't take off of work, so you're not going, or B, you're going to complain about the fucking weather, or whatever, do me a favor. Don't waste a spot in the stadium for the rest of the season, please. This is a we haven't been able to sit in those seats in over a year, and you're going to opening day. You better be fucking have a smile on your and a smile on your face from ear to ear that we won't even be able to see, okay? Because of your mask. But anyway, this could
you
be.
You better be loud. You better cheer this team.
Fucking loud.
You better be excited.
Right.
It might better sound like there's 45,000 people in the stadium. Hell yeah.
And this could be a good segue into what we want to get to next. But just talking about Justin Wilson going down and Zach Britton not being there, the Yankees are going to really need to rely on one of two things or both. First off is going to be the offense clicking right out of the gate. I mean, this offense is going to need to put up some runs, which the Yankees notoriously get off to slow starts offensively, going from, you know, Florida to the colder weather. You got to hope for better weather than we're going to fucking get on opening day for the rest of the month. But on top of that, and this is going to be tough to do, I know, because the Yankees are going to fucking baby these guys, but we're going to need a little more length out of our rotation, out of our starting rotation, because you're not going to be able to bridge those gaps in close games, and you don't want to see the Yankees get into, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get into a hole just because Justin Wilson and Britton aren't there, but I want to see this. We talked about this. Like, we want this season to be fucking like 98. Like, don't even give me glimpses of, like,
I don't want Ajita once.
Seriously, like, let's just fucking be a powerhouse. And for that to happen, this team can't put themselves in like a hole where, you know, they're playing catch up a little bit by the time these guys get back. They need to fucking.
But this is why I wanted to do the AL East preview. I really did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever, you know, didn't whatever. Fucking happen. Fine. But look at this division. Baltimore, is there any glimmer of hope coming from Baltimore now or for the next 5 years?
No.
Boston.
They got Cora back.
Cora's back, but
that goes a long way. It does, but
they have no pitching.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Toronto, they're gonna be a juggernaut offensively.
Yeah, but they've been.
But do they have pitching now? They lost their closer for the year.
No, you want to know what? The fucking Blue Jays really, really had the shittiest offseason, in my opinion, because that team is good enough offensively where if you just put a few more pieces into your rotation, you would have been a very competitive team this year. But they have no one.
I saw MLB ranking. Somebody ranked the top 10 pitchers in baseball. And first of all, Jacob DeGrom wasn't one, so it's a horse shit list to begin with.
It's already bad. What was
you know Cole? It was Shane Bieber.
Yeah, look, Shane Bieber had a great year, but he's not fucking Jacob
DeGrom.
He's
not
DeGrom.
Better than fucking Jacob DeGrom.
Are we saying the best based off of last season?
They were ranking the top 10 pitchers in baseball, and they had Hyunjin Ryu as 6.
What?
And I'm like,
Where was Cole?
2. Cole, I'm sorry, Cole was 3. It was DeGrom and then Cole. And then Darvish was 4. I didn't remember who was 5, and then Ryu was 6. I'm like, that's nice that they think Ryu is the sixth best pitcher in baseball, but I don't feel that way. If Ryu's your ace, you know, like if Ryu was the Yankees' ace, I would be screaming that they don't have an ace.
No, Ryu or Ryu, however you say it, he was great in that like 1B/2 role when he was good, when he was on top of his game. But like last year, he really didn't have that spectacular every year.
Yeah, every time
he?
I've seen the Yankees face him, the Yankees bomb him. So like that's
what I'm thinking of.
And then there's the Rays. I mean, what are the Rays going to do this year?
They lost Snell.
They lost Snell. Choi's going to be out for a couple months now. I think he had knee surgery. Or was a Rosarena a flash in the pan in the postseason, or is he a superstar now?
Maybe he is.
Nick Anderson's hurt. So, I mean, what do we expect out of the Rays? They're always around, but will they be on that next level to compete with the Yankees? And the Yankees can probably afford a slow start because this division is not very good. The American League as a whole is not very good. There's no reason why the Yankees shouldn't cakewalk into the American League's championship series this year. There really isn't. There's no reason why.
You know, I'll be fair with Ryu. He has some very good numbers over the last few years, but Here's where I'm gonna say he doesn't deserve the spot that he's in. Because from 2017, which was, I mean, really, we'll say 2013, it was when he came up. He had 30 games started. I mean, he has very good numbers, but
he's a good pitcher.
But guess what?
He is. I'm not
in
saying
2013,
he's not.
He capped out at 30 games started. He hasn't hit that. He almost did in 2019 at 29, but he's got to give me a little more than that. But he's good. I mean, he's good. He just, to me, doesn't profile like an ace for some reason.
He doesn't scream. Yeah, I don't think of him as an ace. Like, he'd be a, if he was my number two, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But if he's my number one starter.
He's probably the best number two in baseball if he's your number two.
But he's Toronto's ace, which is.
An ace that has no one following him.
Which is Gerrit Cole's problem, maybe.
No. We have at least a lot more hope.
All right, so let me see if do you have the tweet up or
which tweet?
When I got a where I tweeted the Yankees
I'll pull
rotation
it
for the first six games.
Oh, I know it. It's Gerrit Cole opening day, obviously. Then Kluber, then Herman, then it's Montgomery, and then back to Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole again, yes.
And then Tyone. It could be Kluber, Tyone.
Right. No, it's the first six games of the year are Cole, Kluber, Herman, Monty, Cole, Tyone. No surprise, Cole's the opening day starter. I told you, I'm not saying that I was the only one saying this, but you know, we've all been saying the Yankees want Kluber to be the number two starter. He's the number two starter to start the season. I was battling people. I think it was on Sunday. Well, I saw a lot of people tweeting that he hasn't been impressive in the preseason, and I'm saying to myself, the only thing I can really go by is what his ERA is, and it was at 1.69 going into the game on Sunday.
It's because of one reason, and it's because, and again, I'll say this again, Kluber is a veteran. He knows how to prepare himself for the regular season. He's not going to blow his arm out in spring training. He's going to allow it to work itself up to where it needs to be, and it's his velocity being a little lower right now that people are probably concerned and saying he doesn't look great, but his fucking shit is dominant.
No, dude, did you see those couple of
unreal.
Oh, my God. But he was sitting around 90.
Yeah.
I think in his last Cy Young year, he was topping out at 92, 93.
He's a 93 guy.
His peak was 94. His hardest he's ever really thrown was 94. He's not a flamethrower. This guy's a pitcher.
You know, people have that kind of mixed up with him because Kluber's one of those guys that has a really hard fastball. He has a lot of pop on his fastball. It looks like it's
plays
a lot
harder.
It does. Hard. So he's never really been that power pitcher in that sense. Kluber is as good as he is because he's just a very smart pitcher with a lot of good stuff. And that's who Kluber's going to be. So if he's topping out at 90 right now in spring training, that means
the way those pitches fucking move.
Yeah. And by the end of April, he'll be up to 92, 93 again. Maybe he'll sit around 91, 92.
He doesn't even really need to throw 93. If he's going to throw 91, 92, and he's got the good mix of speeds with that movement.
But here's my question now. Are they going to baby Tyone and Kluber in a sense of the Yankees didn't announce who they're going to start in the seventh game, did they? So will they skip Kluber because Tyone's back now? Because I'm just not okay with that shit. I'm not.
I don't – look, are you're not okay with them taking it easy on Tyone. That's why Tyone's in the sixth spot right now.
No, man. Look, do you know when Tyone had it easy on him? When he was recovering from Tommy John.
But
this guy is building his arm back. You can't just baby him now and sit him on the bench. Like, let him pitch. Let him pitch. Put him on a pitch count. I mean, come on.
Well, you know what some genius told me earlier this week? That Kluber should start the season in the bullpen.
I don't even, honestly, can't even waste my brain capacity on that.
So what do you? You're saying pitch count. What do you want? You want him to take starts and throw 40 pitches and go to 50?
I would rather see Tyone get his start and sacrifice some bullpen arms that aren't really that valuable. that are expendable arms that can eat some innings during his start and let him continue to work himself into season form than to skip his starts and just have him throw bullpen sessions.
But here's the thing. We knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
We didn't know with Tyone. We knew somebody was going to get skipped the first time through because the Yankees were going to do everything in their power to make sure that Gerrit Cole stayed on schedule, which is the right thing to do.
Yes.
You want Gerrit Cole to make the maximum number of starts this year. So it would really have been, so you would take any of the other four guys. They obviously think Kluber's ready to go. They stuck him right in the number two spot. A little surprising that Herman's in the three spot, but I guess with the way he's pitched, I thought maybe they would want to stick Monty in there, you know, break up the righties a little bit, but I guess this early in the season it really doesn't matter. They maybe feel a little bit better about where Monty and Herman are, and then that just leaves Tyone. Maybe they think he's just a little bit behind the other guys.
I think the Yankees are going to put a lot of pressure on Herman. I think they have nothing to lose with this guy at this point. Like we talked about plenty of times, if he shits the bed, they can release him and be done with him. So I think that they're not going to really beat around the bush with him. They're going to throw him in the fire. They're going to put some pressure on him. And if he fucking performs, then hey, I mean, at that point, that's what he's there to do. So throw him in the number three, make him feel like he's one of the top, you know, pitchers in this rotation and see if he can answer the call.
But what was one of the things we talked about last time is that the Yankees have Davey Garcia sitting in the sixth spot. That's huge. They haven't had that quality of a pitcher be their next guy up in a long time.
It's pretty wild.
So they're not looking at it like, oh, you know, fuck Herman. If he sucks, he sucks. They need him to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm saying is when it comes to how they feel about Herman, the person, that there's nothing to lose in a sense of, it doesn't seem like they really care for the guy, that the team, the clubhouse doesn't really care for the guy. Because ever since those opening statements from like Voit and Britton, did they ever come out and make a statement and say, you know what, Herman apologized and did the right thing, and it seems like he's on a better track to be a better human being, and, you know, we're going to just take it from here. They never did
that. Not that I recall, but again, I don't think it's really necessary. Let him say what he needed to say and move on from it. That's what I keep saying here. Nobody condones what the guy did, but it's time now to focus on what he's going to do on the baseball field.
And I think he's got a lot of potential, man. I really do. I mean, before all this shit happened with him, he was having a very, very good year. And it was really unexpected. We always knew when he was coming in and out of the bullpen and stuff, he had some electric stuff. We never thought he'd profile as a really good starting pitcher, but he does. I mean, he's
When Cashman made the trade for him, he called him a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
He's looking to hit on it. So,
I mean, if you're going to slot Herman at the top of his game, which we've seen can be very good, in your third slot and still have Monty fucking Tyone when he's, you know, when the rotation's going normally. So really it pushes Herman down to four or five. And then, like you said, Garcia's your sixth starter. I mean, that's wild. That's a tough rotation to beat.
So before we get to Twitter, I do want to cover a couple of things other quickly. We got off when we were talking about the roster moves, got off it for, didn't get back to it. Tyler Wade made the team. A lot of Yankee Twitter's upset about that. But again, you know, like, I don't know what the Yankees exactly were discussing when we talked about it last time, that Boone said that there were, or that they were still working some things out. Maybe they really did give serious consideration to Tyro Estrada. But again, he plays shortstop, and that's something that you need on the bench. So the bench is going to be Higashioka, Wade. It's going to be Tauchman and... who's the other guy?
Gardy.
Did I say Gardy?
No.
Higashioka, Tauchman, Wade, and Gardner. That's the bench right there. And Brian, you said Brian Cashman being transparent. He came out and said it. Voit's injury is the reason why Jay Bruce is on a team.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen. We don't have to go into it now, but I just wanted to say, I wonder what's going to happen when Voit's ready to come back.
Well, it depends on what Jay Bruce does. If he's hitting 147, he's going to get released. If he's hitting bombs, he's going to be on the bench.
and then Talkman goes bye-bye?
They'll have to figure it, you know, those.
You got
to
hope, really, always, if you're the Yankees right now, you got to hope Talkman makes the most of this chance being on the bench here and coming up in big spots.
Look, they like Talkman. They think he was in. They think the reason why he didn't hit last year is because his shoulder hurt. And he's shown pop in the preseason. He did. So, I mean,
he's the sock man.
And we know he plays a good defense. I don't know. Maybe some nerd will tell me that his defensive metrics are terrible, but he plays a good defense in my mind.
Anyone who's good, like anyone who you can see who you think is good, that means he sucks.
So, Dietrich and Robinson Chirinos were re-signed to minor league deals. They'll be stashed away at the alternate site. I got to do more reading on the difference between going to the alternate site, what that means, versus just being sent out to AAA, because there are minor leagues this year. So
it's like it's like in like The Walking Dead, when people had homes that they were like safe in, like the shelters and stuff. That's like major leagues, and then the alternate site is like when they're fucking camping out in the woods and they can die at any moment.
So Dietrich and Chirinos are back with the team, but Chirinos can't play right now because he had surgery after he got hit by the pitch, the broken wrist. So he's going to rehab with the team, and then the Yankees were probably looking to add some veteran depth at catcher anyway, so they're just bringing in a guy back that they had in camp. And, you know, Dietrich's an interesting guy, you know, if, you know, we'll see what happens with him if the Yankees need him. Hopefully they don't. I mean, It's better to leave those guys there because then it means that your team up here depth. Is performing the way
and you have
that
depth.
They need to. So again, before we get to Twitter, just want to, because this is the other thing in the news, the Mets owner, Steve Cohen and Francisco Lindor at dinner the other night, the Mets put 10 for 325 in front of Lindor. Lindor said, shove your raviolis up your ass. I want 12 for 385. So they're still negotiating about that.
Do you think that deal gets done? Because I think that's like such a bad way to start the season if they can't figure that out. And there's been offers on the table. Like, talk about just bad blood right off the bat.
Look, they need to figure out a way to hit the money in the middle somewhere. They do. You know, if Lindor goes to free agency, I don't know if that number is going to still be on the table. We all know the amount of shortstops that are going to be available next year.
Here's what I'll say, and I'll keep it brief. I think that Lindor, if he wasn't going into the free agency class that he's going into in this next offseason, would not even consider a deal right now. But because of that class, he has to. So he's sitting down, and I think it's a great offer, but here's what I said to you and SGR last night. I wouldn't even negotiate the money in the years at that point. I want an option. I want like a Garrett Cole type player option. I want an opt out after 3 years. And here's why. We've seen how the market just continues. Even though we say there's never going to be any more massive deals, we see every single year these massive deals get paid out more and more. Look at guys like, I can't even think off the top of my head, that signed these 10-year deals without any opt outs. And then the next year, a guy of half the caliber is getting paid almost double what they got paid. Look at DeGrom. Like, look at DeGrom, right? He's a great person. So if I'm Lindor, I want
to. He took that deal as a favor to the Mets,
though. I know that, but what I'm saying is if I'm Lindor, yes, I like the security of the years, of course. I like the money, but I want a fucking player opt out after 3 or 4 years, because if I'm playing at the potential that you're paying me for, I know by that point the market's going to continue to rise and I can get more money. And I think that's the way Lindor has to play it.
And you know what? Fans are getting on him. Oh, it's a pandemic. You turned down $325 million. These guys don't live in the same fucking world that we do. Okay.
Right.
So if the money is, these guys have a finite amount of time to make money, and the guy paying him is worth $14 billion, he's got every right in the world to ask for it.
Of course. Now,
you know, will the Mets cave? Who the fuck knows? But their owner is a fucking loser. I'm sorry. That's not Yankee hate. That's not me hating on the Mets. No, because
we liked him for a while.
But he's a fucking loser. I'm sorry. When you tweet shit like, oh, Lindor's a heck of a player, I hope he signed, I'm glad you don't own the fucking Yankees. Yeah. I would be so embarrassed to see Hal Steinbrenner tweeting shit like that.
Please, Please play with us. Please sign your contract.
Please, I took you out for chicken. I took you out for chicken palm.
Please, you're so good. Loser.
Like, come on, dude. Get a fucking life. And then when you were involved in that GameStop shit, you deactivated your account. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a fucking loser.
Yeah, you really showed your true colors, pal.
You're more worried about fucking the black jerseys that the Mets are going to wear than the, like, come on, seriously.
You're a fucking loser with a lot of money.
I don't need my owner playing fucking patty cake on fucking Twitter. Go do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like, I respect you and I wish I had your money and stuff, but I'm glad you're not the owner of the Yankees.
All right, so let's jump into Twitter here. No question. We just said, hey, you know what? You want a shout out? You got any comments, questions? Last show before the season starts. So we'll start with at stadium status. He goes, do you guys think Judge is under the weather, is just covering up for an injury? No. I don't know.
No, because of how positive it was when they said what it was and that he's ready to fucking go. Usually when that shit's happening, it's like Judge is under the weather. We're going to see how he feels in a couple days and then we'll take it from there. And then the second they say something like take it from there, you know, he's out for 6 weeks. But because they're like, he'll be in the fucking lineup on Thursday. He's ready to go. He's feeling fine now. Blah, blah, blah. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guy. You, of all people, come all on, rise bro. All the time, bro. This is not cover. Look, if we felt that way, we'd tell you. But no, after the way things broke out yesterday, he's fine. And he's going to be in the lineup on Thursday.
Come on, bro.
Bobby from the Bronx, man. He just dropped a whole bunch
love
of
it.
Shit on
I love,
us.
I love it.
He wants to know what Chassin-like options are still available in the free agent market. I have no idea, dude. I haven't looked at the waiver wire. I'll be honest with you. The Yankees have guys like Asher Wojciechowski. I mean, that's the level of guy. Chassin, I think, took an opt-out so he could test the waters. See what's out there. Those are the level of guys that are going to be out there. Guys that are out there looking for jobs right now. They're not guys that you're going to be excited to put in your rotation at any time, you know?
Yeah, and the Yankees are clearly, with certain pieces to this puzzle, are looking to just work from within.
Yeah, right. Like Mike King will make starts.
Yes.
They'll bring. They got Davey Garcia sitting there.
And you know
there.
What they can? They have the ability right now to do that.
If we're honestly at this point in the season, if we're thinking about the seventh starter, we got problems that we don't want to talk about.
No,
right now.
Yeah. No.
He also wants to know, is this the deepest and most questionable rotation they've ever had?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is the fucking Bobby from the Bronx. That's the best way to put it. This is the deepest, most devastating, questionable rotation the Yankees have had ever. Ever.
And here's where I might take him to task a little bit, because then he adds up one more and he says, Hal backed himself into a corner by playing luxury tax limbo in a championship window year, meaning the Yanks might have to give up more talent in a trade for less in return if needed. He goes on to name a couple of guys with high, like Schmidt, Gil, Medina, and they might be traded for Matt Boyd. First of all, if the Yankees are looking to trade for Matt Boyd in the middle of the season, something bad happened. And you know what? And we said it here before. We were the guys saying trade Jason Dominguez.
Yeah.
So no, I don't. I'm not really concerned about what I'm giving up to get a piece that I think is going to help me win this year, because I'm not thinking about next year right now. I'm sorry,
Bobby. He kind of contradicted himself, because he's talking about how Hal kind of held back with spending because this should be a championship year. And then you're talking about worrying about giving up prospects for someone you need to fill pieces in. Like, if the prospects aren't here and helping us win, who the fuck cares if it's a championship year, right? Who cares? I mean, if we got to do what we got to do to win. Now, I agree with you that I didn't like the approach with the luxury tax this year. I get it. It's a business. It's not my business to run. But as a fan who hasn't seen a championship since 2009, I really didn't care for it.
No, we talked about that 100 times. But like, again, it's like you're Hal Steinbrenner. You're giving Brian Cashman $210 million to win a title.
Yeah.
You should have no reasons why you can't do that.
Yeah, and last point, Bobby, this team, when you look at it right now, yeah, they got some injuries, but you can't find me a better team in the division right now. you might not even be able to find me a better team in the league the way they're constructed, depending on how that rotation goes. So, I mean, I think they did a great job regardless.
Right. And we said this in this last point, we'll say before we move on to the last two here. Look, I'm not saying trade your top three pitching prospects for some fucking middle of the road fourth starter because, you know, things didn't work out with Tyone or Kluber. Mm. But, you know, this is the year where you got to overpay with prospects. This is the year you have to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no excuses where Brian Cashman can, and we've always given Brian Cashman the benefit of the doubt where we're saying, did you hear the fucking package they wanted for Robbie Ray? They wanted Clint Frazier and Davey Garcia. Fuck them. Why would we do that? But this might be the year you have to do something like that. I'm not saying give away Frazier and Robbie Ray, but, you know, like, you know, honestly, dude, if you're going to trade a guy that's a number two starter potential for a guy that's a number four starter, this is the year you got to do it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll go as far as
we're talking about trading.
I'll go as far as to say that even like a guy like Talkman, if it gets to the middle of the year and your outfield's healthy, you got depth with Gardner and a hole opens up that you need to fill, and it might be with a guy that isn't, you know, worth trading what you see in Talkman. But even at that point, like, you need to just fill the gaps that you need to fill regardless with expendable pieces. And I don't care how much you like Talkman or value him, he's expendable. He has not proven that he isn't at this point. So anyone's up for grabs who hasn't proven that they're invaluable.
This one just came in. We gotta add it because it's our boy Chris Colon. He says, "Are there any NL teams that you guys hate that you would love to see the Yankees beat in the World Series?" Yes, all of them. Any of them, pick one.
I hate all National League teams. I gotta say, I don't hate the Mets. I mean, I hate them a little more now because I really just don't respect Steve Cohen anymore. But I do love guys like DeGrom and shit. So I don't really hate the Mets. If I had to pick one team, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily hate a team in the National League enough. I'll say this. I would love it to be the Padres because of how much people love the Padres. I would love for the Yankees to end their drought by not only pissing people off that they won a World Series, but by also pissing off the rest of America who aren't Yankee fans rooting for the Padres.
Do you know, last week I saw two people in two different parts of the state. Actually, one was in Pennsylvania and one was in Jersey wearing Diamondback 2001 World Series caps.
That's not real.
What do you mean that's not real? That happened. I'm telling you it happened.
They can't be real people. Like, they are.
Did just, I imagine
they're
them?
Just trolls. Were they they're trolling. No one is a 2001 Diamondback fan unless you lived in Arizona and needed baseball and had this expansion team that won a World Series after a couple years of being in the league.
Because I'll tell you what, not that it would ever make 2001 go away, but I would like to beat the Diamondbacks in a World Series.
That would actually be nice. But they're not good enough for that yet.
No.
Like, I need so, them to be a powerhouse again before we fucking...
So if you're asking that question, the two teams that would trigger people the most that the Yankees beat would be are the Mets and the Padres. So I'll take
either one of them. Uh-huh. Deal.
But you know what? There's 15 teams in the NL. They're even now, right? That's why we play in our league every week, every day now.
Yeah, it's 15-15.
I just want to win a fucking World Series. I don't care who it's against, but yeah.
Hate anyone that they play.
I'll hate. Right. So here we go. The last two of our biggest fans. We'll start with Don Sicario. He says, the rotation makes me
too
nervous.
Too close to the mic.
It ruins
the audio, yeah. Okay, great.
The rotation, actually, he says, the rotation's health makes me nervous. Cashman gambling with these guys coming back makes me believe that Cressy and Blake have seen enough to think they're okay. So I'm going to say, like you guys always say, all rise all the time.
Here's what I'll say to you, Don Sicario. The gamble that Cashman is taking on the guys that he did is like this. Imagine you're at a blackjack table. I'm a blackjack guy. And the dealer looks at you, the casino, the pit boss comes over and he whispers in the dealer's ear. The dealer comes over to you and says, look, you can bet $100. And if you win this hand, you win 30,000, right? are you not taking $100 out of your pocket and playing that hand? Because that's what, it's not even close, the potential that these guys can bring to this team versus the risk. And that's why it's a good move, and that's why I wouldn't be worried about it.
All right, and we'll end here with Patrick.
Too close to the mic.
I'm emphasizing Patrick.
The fella. Hello, fellas.
Fellas, just want to send positive vibes. Let's get wins on the board. Back our players. Let's go Booner for Boone. Love you, fellas.
Let me tell you something about Patrick real quick. I'm going to peel back the curtain. I had a tweet today. I'm going to give away a pair of Yankee tickets to out of all the people who picked right, I asked who's going to hit the first Yankee home run of the season. A lot of Gleyber Torres, by the way. Patrick lives in Ireland.
Irish.
Doesn't really have the ability to just go to any old Yankee game. He did the tweet, retweeted, followed, and whatever. And he DMs me and he goes, look, if I win, I just want my tickets to go to someone who's going to bring their kid to a game. I'm like, you're the fucking man, dude.
No, he's a solid dude.
He's the OG. He's the OG.
So the 10,850 of you that will be in Yankee Stadium on Thursday, I want to be able to hear you guys fucking scream your lungs out. Friday morning, not a damn one of you should be able to speak. That's how much you should. Not one of you.
Not one.
We have him sat down inside that stadium since, what was it, game 5 of the American League Championship Series last year in 2019. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. A lot of shit has happened. The stadium is open again. Now, it's not going to be 48,000 strong, but, you know, close to 11. Make it feel like it is. This is what we want. Hey, this is what we've been dying for. Let's think about it like this.
When that stadium's filled with 50,000, there's probably only 11,000 people anyway who actually know what the fuck's going on and get loud enough to cheer. So it shouldn't be too far off.
You know what I want? For everybody that can listen to my voice right now, you know what I want the goal of those 11,000 fans in Yankee Stadium to be? When Gerrit Cole takes the fucking mound for the first time at Yankee Stadium with fans in the seats, I want you motherfuckers so loud that man feels goosebumps and he says, this is the fucking place I should be.
I don't care if there's 11,000 people or 50,000 fucking people. This is my home.
Make that. This man is the fucking ace of the Yankees. You cheer, you scream for this dude so loud that he, look at this. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
I have goosebumps.
Okay. I'm so excited for Thursday. I can't wait. This is going to be one of the, dude, they could lose 15-1 and it'd still be one of the best days in my life.
I agree.
Last year was so weird. I mean, it technically, but this is like my daughter's first real opening day. I'm so excited for it. I'm going to be home. I'm going to watch the game with her. 1 o'clock start. I'm fucking ready, dude. And I'm just ready for it.
Let's go.
Let's go. We keep saying it. All rise, all the time. Let's go, Yankees. That guy rising here. I'll Stack do it guy for him.
Don't go.
Go, Yanks.
Don't go, Yank, because you're at a kid's talent show right now.
Ooh, that, you're going to get him in a lot of trouble for that.
That could get dicey.
So please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. We'll be back hopefully fucking Friday morning because they'll play Thursday. Like you know what? They're playing Thursday. Why, Chris? Positivity only. All rise all the time. They're Let's playing Thursday. I'm going to say we're going to get a nice 7-1 victory. Gerrit Cole's going to give up his obligatory solo home run, but he's going to dominate. He's going to go out there, pitch like the fucking ace. We're going to see a couple dingers. I'm going to say, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Judge is going to make his stamp saying I'm the MVP, and Clint Frazier's going to pop his head in there and say, hey, guys.
That's my prediction.
Let's go. I'm so ready. Even if they lose, which I'm hoping they don't, I'm still so excited for the season, man. I really am. Let's go. You know, we got some new stuff coming out. Hopefully it'll be done for Thursday. If not, then shortly thereafter. The other three shirts that we came out with are still on the website. Please go check them out at, what is it again? I always forget.
NYYSportsTalk.com/shop.
There you go. Boom. If you need a code for to save a little money, you can DM us at NYY Sports Talk. We'll hook you up. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode. Bonus episode number 221 of the NYYST podcast. Let's fucking go. The chase for 28 officially begins on Thursday. I'm fucking pumped. All rise, all the time. Chris, say goodbye.